Will you bow your heads with me as we begin? Almighty Father in heaven, Lord, today we seek to understand and to grasp that which is in many ways beyond our mind's capability. So we ask for your Holy Spirit to help us to understand again the wonderful good news of a risen Savior. Lord, open our eyes, our minds, that we may behold your glory and this day be forever changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have lived through some very memorable Saturdays. Are there some Sabbaths that stand out in your mind? Saturdays that you just cannot forget. I remember when I went on my first mission trip, and I had the experience of standing on the beach in the Dominican Republic, preaching to everyone there, and I thought, this is cool. Anytime you can preach on a beach, that's a nice day. That's a good Sabbath, one not to forget. I remember when Ethan came into our world, it was on Friday, and so the next day was Sabbath, so I actually got to miss church that day, and I spent the day in the hospital with my brand new baby boy, showing him off to my family and our friends. I remember another Sabbath years later, this time with baby Johanna. Only we weren't in a hospital on this Sabbath. We were trapped in a hotel room down in Florida with a tropical storm outside, waiting for the hotel, or not the hotel, waiting for the airport to open up so we could finally, after weeks of waiting, fly home. And if you really want to put your Sabbath fun and experience to the test, try being trapped in a hotel room with a newborn and a four-year-old with a monsoon outside. But it was still a great day, one that I still remember today. There are some Sabbaths that stick in our minds, though, for other reasons. The first Sabbath after a loved one has died. Or the first Sabbath after you've lost your job. The first time walking back into church after living through a tragedy in your life. There are dark Sabbaths, Saturdays filled with pain. And there are many who come here Saturday morning looking for hope, looking for some glimmer of hope through a dark time in their lives. Well, this morning, I want you to imagine with me the Sabbath experience of the disciples, of Jesus' followers, the day after Jesus died. I don't think they ever forgot that day. If you would open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, let's imagine what it was like on that day. Luke chapter 23. We'll start in verse 53. Luke 23, in verse 53, speaking of Joseph of Arimathea, says, "Then he, Joseph, took it down. He took down the body of Jesus and wrapped it in linen, laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment." What a dark, pain-filled Sabbath. Not only had they lost a friend, they'd lost their whole belief, for they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. So imagine if in one day your whole faith, your whole belief system is flushed, gone. They'd witness their master, their friend, and their hope die. The most horrible death humanity had thought up of at the time. Friends, we are so far removed from the cross that sometimes we begin to focus on our suffering. And we focus on the suffering in our world, and we forget about the suffering that Jesus experienced on that day when darkness fell at noontime. It's no wonder that we're advised to spend time each day thinking about what Christ endured on that day. It's true, we see the pictures, but the pain is almost lost on us. When we think about this day, as they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, they actually offered him a bit of mercy. They offered him a drink that would help numb the pain so he wouldn't feel it. And he refused. He wouldn't take it because his mind needed to be as clear as it could be. Even though it was filled with pain and agony, he couldn't have a numb mind because these hours were the most crucial in every hour that had ever been lived on this planet. So he said, "No, I won't drink it." After nailing him to the cross, they set it upright. And we don't often envision this, but within minutes of hanging on the cross, doctors and scholars have looked at it and imagined that probably both of Jesus' shoulders were popped out of their sockets from how he was hanging. And then a few minutes more, and his elbows would have dislocated, and his wrists. And that's actually spoken of and predicted in the Bible. If you'll turn with me to Psalm chapter 22, we find this Psalm of David that speaks about what Jesus went through. Psalm 22 and verse 14. And David writes, inspired, looking down through the history. And he says, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me." And when we picture Jesus on the cross, many times it's actually kind of even though it's a horrible scene, we picture it as kind of peaceful. He just kind of hangs there. But that's not how it was. He couldn't hang still on the cross in the way that he was nailed there. In order to breathe, he had to pull up on those nails and push up on the nails of his feet in order to take a breath. So he was constantly moving, trying to stay alive. His legs cramped from the angle that they were nailed to the cross. Blood pours from wounds, from the scourging, from the lashes of the whip that fell over and over again. Sweat drenches his body and mixes with spit of those passing by. He says, "I thirst." Because as the blood and the sweat leave his body is crying out for liquid, which he has not had since the night before. And he cries out, "I thirst." His body cries out for oxygen, but he cannot breathe without extreme effort and pain. All of this he endured. And we are even told that the spiritual suffering that he felt of bearing all the weight of all the sins of his Father looking at him, and for the first time in their existence, the Father turned away from him. And he had never felt that before from the beginning of time. That spiritual suffering was so great that he started to not even feel the physical pain. All of this he experienced for 6 hours. 6 hours of sheer agony. And the women and the disciples watched. They watched this horror helplessly before them until they heard the cry, "It is finished." And they watched his head slump onto his chest for the final time. All this he did. He went to the grave to one day ensure to one day ensure that we would never have to stand at the grave of our departed loved one anymore. All this he suffered, all that pain, so that one day we would not have to suffer the pain of sickness and cancer anymore. All that hurt, he lived through all that emptiness of his father turning away, so that one day, we would not have to feel the emptiness of a baby that does not make it into our world. Or a baby that leaves far too soon. He fought this war hanging from nails so that one day there would be no more war. All this he did for you and for me. But his followers did not know this on that Sabbath. They watch as their world crumbles around them. They watch as his body hangs limp with nothing left to give. And they see his body placed in a tomb. And the stone slams in front of the entrance and seems to slam their dreams to the ground. And then the Bible says in Luke 23, verse 56, that they rested according to the commandment. After all of this, they kept the Sabbath. Have you ever wondered how? What did they do that day? How do you keep Sabbath after what you've just went through and watched and experienced? Did they sing songs to God when all they wanted to do was cry? Did they try to read the scriptures when all hope was lost? Or did they look for something in here that might help them on the darkest day they'd ever lived? Were they able to pray as confusion reigned in their hearts and minds? What a dark Sabbath. Not just for the disciples, friends, but for the entire universe. For the Creator of all things lay in a tomb. The life giver, now motionless, without life. The one who spoke the worlds into existence, now silenced and unable to speak. What a day. Some of you know about living through dark nights. You know what it's like to live through dark days when all we can feel is hurt and confusion and are gripped with the question, why? There are people in our world, people in our community who are living through lives that are like being on streets on fire with broken dreams, trying to live as hope is shattered by the broken promises this world brings. There are others who are living out in our world looking for some way to come back home, but they can find no road to lead them and no one to guide them. Is there any help? Is there any hope on those dark days? Well, my friends, I want you to listen to me. Listen to me right now. The cross was not enough. It wasn't. Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 15. I'll prove it to you. The cross was not enough to answer our problems. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. And Paul writes, and he says, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Friends, if all Jesus did was die, then we have no hope. If he is not risen, there's no chance, no life, no salvation, and no victory. If Christ is not risen in our hearts, there's no love, there's no outreach, there's no change, and there is no hope. But my friends, praise God that these words were spoken. In Luke 24, verse 6, these words rang through the world and through the universe. He is not here. He is risen. Spoken by an angel. Heard by women, written down by men, read and heard by you thousands of years later. Friends, no matter how dark that Friday was, no matter how sad that Saturday was, the third day still came. And no matter how dark of time that you are facing or will face, the Son of God will still arise. Before that angel spoke those words to the women at the empty tomb, he spoke in the dark of the early morning. That angel leaving heaven, his Father saying, go, go now. He leaves heaven and he blazes into the cemetery, lighting up this dark cemetery. His very presence shaking the ground. Evil angels scattering as this angel from the Lord blasts onto the scene. And his voice shatters the darkness even more than the light. And he speaks the words. He speaks the words that heaven longed to hear. He speaks the words that all creation longed to hear. Words that Jesus, the crucified one, the buried one, words that the dead one heard. When he says, arise, Son of God, come forth, thy Father calls thee. And the grave, the cold, dark tomb springs forth life. And Jesus takes a breath, and everything is changed in that moment. The tomb could not claim him, amen? Death's grip could not hold him. Fierce Roman soldiers ran before him. Demons of darkness shook at his presence. Darkness itself fled before him. The Roman seal could not restrain him. The great stone could not bar him. If every mountain of every mountain range had been taken and placed over that tomb, it could not contain him. Religious leaders of the day could not lie their way around him. And the devil himself could not withstand him that day. Victory is won, my friends. When the dark tomb bursts forth life and Jesus lives again, never to die again. Victory over the grave when the dead one walks out of the tomb. And friends, Jesus continues to win as he fights for you and me every day. Now, friends, we have to realize that sin has lost its hold on you. There is no fear that need weigh us down anymore. And I want you to hear about this. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Because Paul writes about this. And I can only imagine when he's writing it, he's probably pounding his desk as he's writing it. I don't know if he preached it and then decided, I better write this down for other people to hear. Turn to Romans chapter 8. We need not fear anymore. Romans 8, verse 35. And Paul writes, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And what's the answer, friends? No, none of that can separate us from the love of Christ. Follow with me down to verse 38. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For our sin cannot outweigh His grace, and our doubts cannot change His truth. And our failings do not discount His victory. For if Christ is with us, who can be against us? Jesus Christ has won the victory, and He offers that victory to you and to me, a better way to live. My friend, He extends to you forgiveness today. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, if we get real with God and we say, God, this is who I am, this is what I've done, do you still love me? And He points to the cross and He says, I do. I can't stop loving you. And the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. You can have salvation today. You can claim forgiveness today. And Jesus offers us the power to free us from our sins, that we might be overcomers with Him. The victory is won, friends. And the victory can be yours if only you believe. And Paul writes about it in Romans 8, verse 37. He says that we are more than conquerors. Can you say amen? Amen. He says you're not just conquerors. You're not just winners. We are more than conquerors in Jesus. He says no power of hell can take you away from Him. Let the congregation say amen. Today we celebrate the victory of Jesus at the cross and the victory over the grave. My friends, dark days still happen today. There are some Sabbaths that are hard to live through. And there are dark days ahead of us too. Daniel wrote it in chapter 12, verse 2, where he said that there is a time coming, a time of trouble such as has never been before. That lies ahead of us. But friends, there is no day so dark that Jesus the Son does not shine. And there is no time so filled with trouble that Jesus cannot rescue us. Say amen. There is no storm so fierce in your life that the Savior cannot calm or protect you through. There is no hurt so great that the touch of Jesus cannot heal. And there is no doubt that can grip us that His hope cannot shine the way through. Dark days do come, and dark days will come. But another day is coming. A day is coming when the trumpet will sound. A day is coming. A day is soon coming. Amen. When angels will fill the skies. A day is coming when Jesus will stand in victory. A day is coming when Jesus' voice will this time be heard. A day is coming when He will say, "Awake. All those who sleep in the dust, arise." A day is coming when dark days will be no more. That day will dawn eternal, with no more night, no more sadness, no more pain. What a day it will be when our Jesus comes again to bring final victory over all dark days. And to grant everlasting life to all who believe. Friends, I'm going to be there that day. I'm going to fly that day. For the Bible says that we will arise to the clouds and I am going to see my Savior, my Lord, my Jesus, face to face. I'm going to be there that day. By the blood of the Lamb, I'm going to be there. What about you? Are you going to arise that day when Jesus comes? Are you going to be there that day? Not enough amens, folks. Are we going to be there that day when Jesus comes? Whether we're alive or whether we've gone to our grave, are we going to arise that day? Then, church, if we're going to be there that day, we need to arise today. And by His grace and by the Holy Spirit's power, let's arise. And let's live victorious lives for Him today. So that we can live that eternal victory with Him when He comes. May the church arise. And may it live for Him. Because Jesus Christ arose and lives for us. Praise God. He arose. This morning, I'd like us to hear a song about this victory. I'd like to invite these young people who've been coming forward night after night to preach about their love for Jesus. I'd like to give them the opportunity now to come forward here and sing for us a song about His victory. Can you say amen one more time? Amen. No power of hell, nor scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. For I am his, and he is mine. For we are bought with the precious blood of Christ. All those who believe that, all those who plan to arise on that day when he comes, I'd like to invite you to arise right now.